Blog Talk Radio.
Show is an offshoot of the Appleseed Project, which is sponsored by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. We welcome you all this evening, and we'll start the show off with what we usually do, which is a listing of the upcoming events. We just had a really busy week this last week and a really busy weekend. We had a lot of events over the weekend. Coming up, we have the Canton, Missouri, March 7th and 8th. Corona, California, March 7th and 8th. Kingsport, Tennessee, March 7th and 8th. Theroux, California, March 7th and 8th. Hinesville, Georgia, March 7th and 8th. Monroe, Washington, March 7th and 8th. The next weekend will be March 14th and 15th, and that will start off with a Boulder City, Nevada event. Also will be a Davila, Texas, March 14th and 15th, El Paso, Texas, March 14th and 15th, Fallon, Nevada, March 14th and 15th, Grandfield, Oklahoma, March 14th and 15th, Knob Creek, which is in West Point, Kentucky, March 14th and 15th, Racine, Wisconsin, March 14th and 15th, Toccoa, Georgia, March 14th and 15th, and let's take it to the third week now. We'll have Buckeye, Arizona, March 21st and 22nd, Evansville, Indiana, March 21st and 22nd, Las Cruces, New Mexico, March 21st and 22nd, Ramseur, North Carolina, March 21st and 22nd, Stinson, West Virginia, March 21st and 22nd. Williamstown, Montana, March 21st and 22nd. Wow. That's a lot of events in the next 3 weeks. We're starting to gear up, and we're moving faster and faster. The weekends are filling up. There's not a weekend that you can't find a Appleseed event across the nation. I'm talking about every weekend. Every weekend in these United States, there is an Appleseed event. Now, will you be able to go to one? You can go to almost any weekend event you want to. Even if you have to travel a bit, no problem. You can go to almost any weekend you want to, except Lafayette, Indiana, April 18th and 19th, which is sold out. Ottawa, Illinois, April 18th and 19th, sold out. That's right. The events are starting to sell out. Winona, Minnesota, April 18th and 19th, sold out. You can keep going down the list, and as you go down the list, you'll find they are slowly but surely selling out. And what does that mean to you? I'll tell you what it means. April 18th and 19th is a special weekend. It's a very special event. It's the first of its kind in history, in American history, and that is coast to coast, border to border events, shooting events. Over 60 events now from one end of the country to the other. We'll be having Appleseed, rifle marksmanship clinics in honor of Patriot Day, in honor of those men and women who came before us, in honor of those men and women who stood together on April 19th, 1775, who stood together to defend their liberty, their freedom, and to eventually form this nation, the United States of America. I'll tell you what else it means to you is that if you would like to make sure that you have a place on the line, and this is a historic event, make no bones about it. This is going to be a historic event. This is one of the this is one of those things that you're going to be able to look back and tell your posterity, your children, that you were there at the first nationwide shoot for Patriots Day. Because we're bringing Patriots Day back. We're putting it back on the records books. We're putting it back on the calendar. We're putting it back in the hearts and minds of Americans. We're helping them to remember that they're Americans. We're helping them to remember what it means to be Americans. This is all going to happen on the April 18th and 19th weekend all across the United States. All right. So you want to secure a place? Nothing you better do. You better get over to appleseedinfo.org and click on the links. Click on the link there for the far left. It says Appleseed. Go down to schedule. Click on schedule. Bring up the schedule. You find an event you want to go to. There's two other links just to the right of it. One is information. That'll tell you where the location is. How to get there, who to contact about it, stuff like that. The next one right beside it is called Register. That's a Register link. That'll take you to Eventbrite, which is our third-party software that takes care of the registering process. You can register online. That means you register online, you've got your place locked in. So whenever you go to that event the next time and you see sold out across it, it's not going to matter to you, because you've got your shooting spot locked in. And why do you want to go to an Appleseed event anyway? What's the big deal? Why can't you just shoot in your own backyard or go down to the shooting range and shoot there? Why do you have to go somewhere else? Why do you have to go someplace to, and listen to a bunch of other people tell you how to shoot or talk to you? Just do it yourself, right? Well, you could. But Appleseed is a proven program. This is a proven way to develop your rifle marksmanship skills immediately in the course of a weekend. We can show you, give you the instruction, give you the techniques, so that you all the stuff that you missed earlier on in your life about shooting, how to shoot. How to fire the six steps, how to do one of three things, which is either how to build a stable shooting platform, find your natural point of aim and shift it onto the target, and execute the shot by the six steps. Now, if you don't know how to do all of those three categories perfectly, then you need to come to an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship event, because we're going to show you how to do those things. We're going to show you how to do them better than 99.99% of American firearms owners. That's right. One weekend with us, we're going to have you on the path to becoming a rifleman. And what's so important about becoming a rifleman anyway? So you can learn to shoot a rifle. That's great. What's the purpose of that? Well, the point is, learning to shoot a rifle is just a small part of it. Becoming a rifleman is much more than any kind of a score you're going to get on any of the skills tests that we give you, any of the qualification tests that we give you. You're going to learn what it means to become a rifleman, what it means to start becoming aware of yourself, to start becoming aware of the things going on around you. I told you guys before, and I'll tell you again. A rifleman never stops learning. A rifleman never stops teaching. A rifleman continues to seek ways to protect the freedom the founding fathers left us, to improve himself, his home, his family, his community, his state, and his country every day of his life. A rifleman adapts, a rifleman overcomes, and a rifleman persists. And this is not just some fancy gilded rhetoric we throw around like popcorn and pennies. This is a code we live by here at Appleseed. And I'll tell you another thing. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. No matter how often anybody tells you that there is. No matter how anyone might tell you that it's cavemanish or stupid or corny or backwoods to have a code to live by in your life. Modern Americans have forgotten their code. They've forgotten how to be Americans. We're here to help them remember, and that's what we do at an Appleseed event. We help them remember what it means to be an American. As an American, you didn't just pop up, you didn't just boot up 5 minutes ago, last week, last year. You didn't just show up out of nowhere with nothing. You have a history. You have a history, you have a culture, you have a long line of men and women who've gone before you and who've made great sacrifices up to and including giving their lives so that you would have your life today. And they began this. We start with teaching you the history of this, of the United States of America, of our nation, with the events of April 19, 1775. So that's why you go to an Appleseed event, because you've got to learn. I tell you what, Americans nowadays are drifting about in despair. They're awash in an ocean of despair and apathy. They don't know what directions they should go in. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. An Appleseed is a bit like a sea anchor. You come to an Appleseed event, and number one, you're going to see the faces around you. You'll almost recognize them. Faces around you of other Americans. These are other Americans who have become tired of despair, tired of apathy, tired of wandering around alone trying to figure out what to do about the country. And they've showed up here, and they've found that they're in the company of other men and women who feel the same way. Very rarely do I ever have to explain to anyone at an event that something is wrong with the country, because they already know it. I can tell they already know it by the looks on their face. When they start hearing about the men and women of April 19, 1775, you can tell that's what they came there to hear. To hear that there were men and women who felt much the same way as they do now, who decided to do something about it, who decided to do something to help fix this country, to help lift this country out of the the peril that it's in. We have an analogy here at Appleseed where we compare America to the Titanic. The Titanic was a ship that, on its maiden voyage, was declared to be unsinkable. It couldn't be sunk. No way, no how. It couldn't be sunk. It was unsinkable. And on this maiden voyage, this ship, with its great sense of hubris, struck an iceberg and became whole and began taking on water. And the people on the Titanic basically fell into two categories. In the one category, you had people who refused to admit that there was a problem, who tried to deny it, who kept their heads in the sand. There's even the reports of the band continuing to play while the ship is sinking, of people standing around and giggling and laughing, and then of other people who were racing up in the deck, up and down the deck, screaming, "Oh, what's to be done? Woe is me! Woe is us! Who will save us? How will we be saved?" And then there was a second group. And that second group were men and women who tried to get supplies down to fix the holes, who tried to move other people out to the decks so they could be saved, who began to lower the lifeboats into the water, who handed out life jackets, who tried to get supplies and food. So you will have to figure out which group you are in. Now that you know, and when you come to an Appleseed event, we're going to lay it out on the line for you. And when we do, you'll have to make a decision then. Are you going to go home and deny what's going on in the country and do nothing? Or are you going to join the group? Are you going to become one of those people who's helping to bail? Who's helping to bail? We're going to bail, and we're going to bail till we get enough water out of the ship where we can find the wounds in the ship and we can start repairing them. So we can start making the ship right. So we can start making this country right. And that's what we have planned to do. And you know what? We're not asking anybody's permission to do it. We decided we've seen a job. We know it needs to be done. So we're going to do it. We're not asking anybody for help doing it. We're not asking for anybody's permission. We're just going to do it. But we do need help. We need your help. We need the help of every true American to help us build this machine, to help us build this machine to save the country. And we got a good jump on it already. We got a good jump on it this last week with a couple of boot camps. We had one in Ramsey, North Carolina, run by J.B., Junior Birdman, who's a master instructor with the Appleseed program. And then we have one here in Davila, Texas. And the guys here at the Davila location were just great. We had a great group of instructors, a great group of new men who've gotten together and decided that they don't want to just help in some small way. They've jumped in with both feet. They took 8 days out of an already tight schedule. They took 8 of their vacation days. Some of them took even more, so they could. They had to have driving time. Some of them drove as much as 1,000 miles, and they attended an 8-day course so that they could help become the teachers of those people, the teachers of the people who are going to help save the country. They didn't want to just stand in line. They wanted to help actually build the machine and teach others how to fix America. And that's what they did this last week. Last week's show, a lot of the guys got a chance to talk and let you know that what a great time they were having. And listen, it is a sacrifice of that time away from your job, from work, from your families. And it was cold at night. It was hot during the day. We had 30-mile-an-hour winds blowing sand so that it was hard to even talk without your mouth filling up with dirt. And yet they stayed. They worked very hard every minute. They did a great job. They're going to end up being great instructors. They're going to end up being American heroes. Now, I noticed I'm looking at the chat program here, and I see that Junior Birdman is signed into the chat program. I'm going to ask him if he will please call in so that he can put in his two cents on the Ramsar, North Carolina boot camp that just ended. He had a lot of great guys up there, too. And I've got quite a few callers on the line. I'm going to start taking them. Before I do that, let me just say this. We had a lot of guys coming through the program in the last couple of years who are on active duty. They're active duty members of our armed forces in all branches. We have Marines, Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, and doing all the different jobs. We've got quite a few Army and Marine Corps men and women who are now deployed overseas, who are in harm's way of the highest degree. And a lot of them are listening to the show. And I want to tell them, and by extension, all of the rest of the men out there, I'm a veteran, and I know what that sacrifice means. I know the long, lonely, dark nights of service. I'm fully aware of the hurry up and waits. I'm fully aware of the 99.9% sweating, boredom, bad food, sickness, and everything else, punctuated by the 0.01% of sheer terror. And I want to tell those guys just how absolutely proud I am of them. How much our country owes them. Those men are the same men and women. The same men and women who went through 8 long, bloody, lonely years, starting in April 19, 1775, 8 long, absolutely nightmarish years serving their country. The huge amount of them who perished, who died in either battle or disease or in prison ships, an even greater amount who came back in some way or other scarred, missing limbs, other different wounds that either did or did not heal, not just of their bodies but of their minds. The country, our country, owes these men and women a debt of gratitude that we cannot repay. There is no way to repay this, unless it would be by sacrificing our own lives for them at some point. We have a debt of gratitude to these men and women, and we will owe them forever. Our past posterity will owe them forever, just as we owe the men and women of April 19, 1775. Just as we owe it to them, to remember them, to honor them, and to honor the thing that they sacrificed their lives for, that they sacrificed their homes and their finances and their sons and daughters for. And that's for this country. That's for the idea of this country. That's for the idea of the revolution which was never intended to end. The idea of the revolution, which was to go on in the hearts and minds of Americans forever and ever. By revolution, I don't mean pitchforks and flintlocks at the gates of the enemy. I mean the revolution of continuing to defend the liberty and those documents that those men and women crafted. We're going to start off a lot of that remembrance this coming April 18th and 19th across the nation. Once again, my thank you to the men and women of our armed forces serving right now here in the United States and all across the face of our world. Always standing ready to defend us. Okay. All right, so I'm going to take some calls. I've got, okay, I'm going to take you guys in order. And then I got JB. He's called in, too. I'm going to take you guys in order. I'm going to put JB on the line, too. And then he and I will both take your calls. So, that said, JB?
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome, welcome. It's always good
thank
to hear
you,
your voice.
Yeah, please pardon me. I'm caught cold at the boot camp, and I still got some head crud, so y'all bear with me. I barely speak English as it is, and this is just going to make it harder. So,
hey, you don't have to. You don't have to. So make you apologize to our audience. They've been listening to me for a couple of months now. So whatever, anybody who couldn't take stuff like that, I've already run off.
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing? Give us a rundown of how it went.
Went pretty well. Had a really good boot camp. This was my worst personal boot camp, I think, just for me. But it was pretty eventful. I wrecked my truck on the way up there. I was going up early for the Tim Murphy shoot that they were having, and I totaled my truck in Charlotte. And so I spent 2 days trying to get transportation. I had transportation issues, as I said. But I managed to get all my stuff up there, and I bought a new truck, and I managed to get there about, I guess about 10 o'clock or so Sunday morning when it kicked off. VA Shooter and Truculent Turtle and Crash Kid and Dinky Dow were already there, and they had already got the festivities kicked off, and they were in the classroom and working the shooters pretty hard. And when I showed up, so the groundwork had already been laid. But we had quite an unusual bunch in that I think we had 11 shooters total, and they were some of the best shooters I've ever seen, probably the best I've ever had at a boot camp. I bet you we said the word dragging wood twice the whole week. It was just incredible. And good trigger work from the very beginning. And, of course, it showed down there on the targets. But typical boot camp in that, we ran it pretty much as an apple seed to begin with. You know, you start off in kindergarten. You start off kind of slow, and then you build. And by day three, we had them, they were so far ahead of the game that we went ahead and started setting up stuff over on the known distance range, and we shot known distance all day Thursday. And Tex shot a rifleman score over there. Congratulations, Tex. Everybody knows Tex. He's from Chicago, so we call him Tex. And went back over and polished some more stuff up. Had the little competition we typically have over there on the last day where we shoot in teams at various ranges. And whoever finishes the course first wins. And we pit the instructors against the shooters. We had three teams of shooters plus one team of instructors, and this bunch beat us for the first time ever. The instructors went down in flames. And so that was pretty cool. But overall, a great boot camp, and I understand you guys had a good one too. So I just wanted to get some details on that. Yeah, still there?
Okay, all right, good. We just lost power. The power cut out to our lonely little house out here, and then it came on a couple of seconds later, but it killed the phone.
Okay.
So I had to call back to get to the station. So I have no idea what you said, but I'm sure it was great. I lost you on, you said we only had to say dragging wood twice.
Yeah, probably the whole week. It was an unusual bunch. They listened, of course, on Sunday morning at Ramsor. You can't shoot until noon because we have a local noise agreement with the churches around there.
Right.
And so we front load all the information. They basically get the information that we would be spreading out over the whole day. They get it right up front before they ever pull the trigger.
What do you
and
think
so,
about that? What do you have you? I thought about that before too. Is how much? I mean, the people when they get there, they want to start shooting, and I do too.
Sure.
But
yeah.
But
yeah, they're
gave them all the information up front. Well, I don't know. Because we have to do it at Ramsar. How do you feel it works different there than when we do start shooting right off the bat?
I've got mixed ideas about it. This time it worked out just fantastic. I'm telling you, the guys just were bulletproof from the very beginning. I think the last couple times we've done it there, if anything, it seems like it works out about the same either way. But this time it just worked unusually well for some reason.
Yeah, we tried to. We tried to get in touch with you several times. We tried to call you last Tuesday, too, because we wanted to have you on the show at the same time as I brought all the rest of the boot camp guys up here to the front porch, and we all sat on the front porch and talked about the boot camp,
uh-huh.
and stuff. But
yeah.
I know when I was there a couple of years ago, it was a complete dead zone for miles around.
Oh, yeah, it is still. But I was doing an RSO class, too. We did an RSO class Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And I got five new RSOs out of that, NRA Range Safety Officer certified. And that's a big help to us. Sometimes we go to places where either the range demands or that particular group of shooters demands that they have NRA certified people on the line. And so that's a foot in the door for us, certain groups like Boy Scouts or certain ranges that require it. So it's a good thing.
Right. I think
we were
going
busy.
To,
we were...
Go ahead. I was just going to say I think that I'm going to get the instructor certification too, so that I can do that at the boot camps also, because we really need to do that with all of our guys from now on.
It's a good idea, yeah, because there's opportunities out there that we would otherwise miss, if we didn't have the certification.
Any other high points? You guys going to Ramsar for any fisticuffs or anything?
No, we do the usual, but every night or two or three or so, we'll run into town and have dinner at Sherry's. I'm sure you remember that place.
Right.
That's a little mom-and-pop place, but it was a fairly benign evening. I think we ate there twice, and it was no fisticuffs. It's not like having an event in Texas. It's a little bit more settled.
That was Oklahoma, now.
Oh, that was Oklahoma? Okay.
Bad riff here. That was Grand Rose and Grandfield.
That's right.
I remember a couple of years ago when we were there, it was all of the staff from the Appleseed program, all of the main guys were there at the Golden Corral. And I remember
mm-hmm.
thinking right then, I said, if I wanted to go back, if 30, 40, 50 years in the future when they figure out time travel, if they want to go back and if they want to stop, if some evil nemesis wants to stop us from changing the face of America and the face of the world, that would have been the time to do it. All it needed was to have the boiler in the kitchen go or something, and that would have been the end of the Appleseed program.
Yeah, well, one grenade, take us all out. That's
that would have been it. Well, let me tell you what we did this time. We did something a little bit different. I think I mentioned it to you before, but what we did was on Thursday, at the end of the day, it got to about 5:30 or so, and everybody was pretty fried. Thursday is kind of the top of the hill there. And so I told the guys, I said, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to break off where we're at now. And we're going to get cleaned up. I'm going to give you guys all brand new Appleseed T-shirts. And we're going to go into town, and we're going to press the flesh, and we're going to talk about Appleseed to everybody we see. So everybody got cleaned up, we loaded up, and we took off in several different sets of teams. And I sent Old Grunt Flyboy, Old Grunt and Mike, they both have military IDs, and they went to Fort Hood, and did it at Fort Hood, and then took another two teams, and we went to like Academy and Walmart and Sam's and several other places, and we really had a great time. It wasn't just work. I mean, you have everybody everybody's tired, but at the same time, they're psyched up about it too. They realize what a great program this is and what it means to the country, and you know, we did a great job. I think we went to Academy, and we're out in the parking lot, and I said, you know, I better go inside and make sure that you know, that we don't get mistaken for Krishnas or something. And I went there and talked to the manager. I said, all I told him was, I said, can I leave some of these flyers over the sporting goods section over there by the firearms and stuff? And he said, yeah, no problem. So I just took that as a blanket approval of what we were doing, and I went over there, and I actually talked to about three groups of people on the way over there. Little did I know it, but when I was doing that, the rest of the group, all except for one guy strategically placed at the exit to the academy, the rest of them had all come in. We had like another five or six pair of Appleseed instructors had come into the store. So by the time I made it over to the firearms counter and was starting to loop my way back, and the store had a lot of people in it, I'd say, I don't know, 100, 150, 200 people. By the time I was starting to loop my way back, I was actually going to head back outside, but I kept running into people and talking to them and giving them flyers and stuff. And by the time I made it to the firearms counter and was looping back, there wasn't anybody that hadn't already been talked to. So there were so many guys in there working that everybody had already been talked to inside the store. And and then we, you know, we moved over to Walmart and Sam's, and it was just a really good time. And luckily, we had one of the instructors to be with us. Actually worked for a restaurant. I'm not going to name it, but he worked for a restaurant, and I guess he had the capacity that he could take us all to dinner. So we all went over to the restaurant and had dinner on him.
Oh, very nice.
It turned out really great. And though we didn't have anybody show up on Saturday who said, oh, yeah, I saw you guys there, we did actually talk to, and I don't mean just say, hi, here's a flyer. I mean, we actually face-to-face talked to about 70 people.
Right.
And gave them all the flyers, the handouts, the schedules, and everything. And I'm really hoping that that is the beginning of some seeds that we planted.
Mm-hmm. Good. Excellent. We did a little something different on history this time. You know, traditionally we've done, we typically divide the day up into the three strikes, and we do one in the morning and one in the middle, one in the end, basically teaching people the story. And, of course, the trouble then is people tend to tell the story that way. They tend to tell it as dry facts and names dates and places. And we're trying to push the idea of telling the story from the heart, telling it in a way that it means something to people, that it relates what happened on April 19, 1775 to us here today. And so I tried something new, and I think it'll work. It just needs to be worked out. Instead of teaching the story, I left it up to the shooters themselves to read the history, to learn the story, and I would take a chunk of it out, a particular instance, and present them with that instance and say, relate that to me today. How does that relate to me today? And give you a for instance. I said there was a fellow there who he worked at the church, the Old North Church there, and we got his name was Robert Newman. And Robert Newman was tasked with opening the church up so that they could climb up in the steeple and light the lanterns to signal that, you know, the crossing of the Back Bay. And Robert Newman had a choice to make, and he could either open the church or not open the church. But the deal was there was only two sets of keys to that church. And the other set of keys belonged to the preacher, and he was a staunch loyalist. And so he had the choice to make. He could open the church or not, knowing full well that if he opened the church for Paul Revere and the Sons of Liberty, that the Brits were going to come for him immediately because they knew he did it, and he would most likely spend time in prison. And that is, in fact, what happened to the man. But he had a choice to make, and he did what was right. He did what he thought was right, regardless of what the outcome was going to be to him personally. And so just relate a chunk of the story to the shooters and then have them make it relevant to us here today. And I think it'll work pretty well as soon as we get some. It just needs to be formatted a little better, perhaps.
Right. I did close to the same thing with the guys from the boot camp here. I told them the same thing, that every time they tell the story, every time they get up there, we're not so much worried if they get everybody's name right, if they get the exact date or the location or the route that Revere took. What we want is for them to tell the story in a manner, in whatever manner that resonates with them, that they're going to read through the history. I ask them to read through the history and find the parts of it that are applicable to their lives today. And use those parts up. When I tell a story, I think I've talked to you about this before, one of the parts of the story that I talk about is Captain Davis was leading the men of Acton at the North Bridge. He had his own forge, blacksmith shop, and he was very skilled, and he ended up making bayonets for all his men, cartridge boxes for all his men. He had to put a firing range behind his house and actually had his men practicing their marksmanship on a weekly basis.
The first DAR, right.
Right, exactly. And so his men were uniquely qualified to lead, and that is why he ended up leading, because his men were uniquely qualified to lead.
Right.
And that's fine. The part of the story that just tears me up is once they got the message, once they got the alarm, and they knew that the regulars were out and that something had to be done, Captain Davis gathered his gear together. He quietly and professionally gathered his gear together. He didn't say much. He had a wife and several children, and the children happened to be sick. And he was married, and he had kids, and he had, he had a whole life there. He had things that had to be done. Back in those days, there wasn't Social Security. There wasn't pensions. There was the person that took care of your family was you. If something were to happen to you, which caused you not to be able to speak or not be able to take care of your family, then they didn't get taken care of. And his family was already, his children were already sick. And it wasn't just a little cold. But even if it was, back then, colds killed you. Cold, the common cold, killed hundreds of thousands of people before we had even just a simple aspirin. So there was a lot of things going on then. And when he got ready to leave, he turned to his wife, and from her record, she says she thought he was going to say something to her, and she waited. And finally, he looked up at her, and he said, "Take care of the children for me." She said she knew then she would never see him again. And I have to tell you that I think that he knew it himself. So what did he do? If he knew he would never see her again, did that change his mind? Did that stop him and have him tell his second-in-command that he couldn't make it because his children were sick and he stayed home that day? No. No, that's not what happened. He left with his men. Not only did he leave with them, when the time came that there was danger, he didn't put himself in the back. He didn't say, I've got to make it home because my children are there. I'm sure he thought that, as any man would. But no, what he said was, I'm the most uniquely qualified, and my men are the most uniquely qualified to handle this, and I'm going to lead them in this. His responsibility to his country, his responsibility to defending the freedom and liberties that he had, outweighed everything else. And
right.
The way I explain it is that, commonly I'll have to go to another city or town for an Appleseed event. And I'm going, you could even call it a holiday. It's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. And there's absolutely a minimal amount of danger, certainly no more danger than any time you're on the highway. And even then, you know, I've got five little girls, and the youngest ones will cling to me, crying, saying, "Don't go, Daddy, don't go." And I say, "Look, I'm just going for the weekend. I'll be right back on Sunday." And it breaks my heart. I mean, it breaks my heart. I've got to do everything I can not to start boo-hooing like a big sissy when they do that, because it breaks my heart. And yet I know that I'm coming back on Sunday and that I'm not going to do anything more dangerous than driving traffic or fly in the air, which is less dangerous than taking a shower. And what if I was in Captain Davis's place? What would I do then? How would I handle it? My point being that we're asking you to do stuff that not only is it not dangerous, it's fun. And yet a lot of people find it's a hard thing for them to do. And yet here was a man who in all probability knew he was not coming back, who knew he would never see his wife and his children again. He loved his children just as much as I love mine. I know he did. And what did he decide to do? He decided to do what was right. He decided to defend his liberties, his freedoms, and do what he knew he had to do. And that's the way that I explain, that's the way I relate one of the stories from that time to now. Because
right.
We don't ask people to stand up as targets for the regulars. We don't ask them to risk their lives. We ask them to do something fun, to show up with a bunch of other people who are the best people on the face of the planet. Apple seeders are just the absolute best people in the world, to do something fun, to shoot, to share their knowledge of rifle marksmanship and of American heritage and cultures with others who want to hear it, who are just dying to hear it. And that's it. That's as much danger as we put them in. To make a phone call, to write a letter to their congressmen and senators, it's a very non-dangerous thing. So, and
in relating that story to us today, I think it's inspirational. All those little points that we make are inspirational, and I think they tend to make people understand they get a little different perspective, and they understand that. There's things out there that are bigger than us, because the people back then had a great sense of posterity. They had a great sense of community and their obligations to their posterity and their community that we just don't have out there in society today. So part of what we're doing is waking up that sense of obligation to your community, to your nation, to your posterity. What good would it have done Isaac Davis to turn around and go back to the house and have his kids grow up under tyranny? So he was doing what was right.
That's right. I want something better for my children, or else why would I even have had them? I want something better for them. Well, listen, are you ready to take some phone calls?
Sure.
All right. Okay, let's start getting some of these folks lined up and on the air. All right, we've got the Area Code 361. You're on the air.
Sweetheart.
Who is this?
Hi, this is Paul.
Is who?
Hello.
Can you hear me? You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
Pop.
Pop?
Pop.
Respiratory Pop?
That's the one and only.
Oh, the only respiratory Pop.
Yeah. Pop was just with us at the boot camp this week. Did a great job. He actually ran the the mess facility during the week. He kept his cooking stove going, and he kept everybody fed and coffeeed up and everything. How's it going, Pop? Now that you've gotten home and you're all juiced up with the week-long the boot camp at the DAR here, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Sally's just about finished her chicken pen, And we're going to move all those roosters, but the hens and the back away from the house so they don't wake me up in the morning. But, that boot camp was fantastic this week. We had a lot of guys. I was just reviewing the number of riflemen that we anointed this week. It looked like a total of 9, including 3 over the weekend.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the same numbers you have, but
uh-huh.
It looked pretty good.
And everybody else is still – everybody else is right up there knocking on the door. We got a lot of people that were on that 200, approximately 200 plateau that we seem to get. And that just happens because you're doing all the stuff like you're supposed to be doing it, but you just haven't quite honed some of your techniques and some of the skills that you need. And they'll keep working on it. And in the next month or so, they'll fly across. And once you fly across that threshold, then your shooting life, of course, has changed forever.
One of the most, I would say, touching stories the whole weekend or the whole week was when Jethro scored rifleman. And he had been shooting different kinds of .22 caliber ammunition all week and just having problems with equipment and just getting close but not quite there. And I guess it was over the weekend that on Saturday that he shot, maybe. I forget which day it was. But he finally did it, and I was fortunate enough to score his target. I gave it to Doug, and Doug confirmed it, and then I gave it to Jethro's brother, Jed, and Jed just smiled, and we let Jethro shoot a little longer, and
He shot it again. He shot another rifleman score before we patched him.
Yeah, he did. But after the whole thing was all over, Jethro told me, he said, "You know, Pop," he said, I shot all kinds of different ammunition all week, and it just didn't work." And then I pulled out a box of my dad's old ammunition from back in the 1980s, and his dad passed away, I don't know, some time back, and that's the ammunition that I shot riflemen with.
Wow.
There you go. Good.
Very nice.
Still with me, still looking out for me.
Yeah, these are two of the guys that were at the boot camp, Jed and Jethro, which is not their real names, of course, but as JB, I'm sure, will tell you, if you don't show up to a boot camp with your nickname already in hand, then we're going to find one for you. And Jed and Jethro got theirs because they came driving into the boot camp, and they elected to camp out. And the way they decided to do it was they put their deer stand on a trailer behind their truck, and they lived in their deer stand for a week. And it looked like the thing that you see perched atop the Clampett's old Model A. And so they ended up with the name Jed and Jethro.
So they were right at home with the shower, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the guys, of course, like it was quite cool and windy there. And a couple of times the guys learned, they learned what happens when you do not feed the fire into the shower and the water gets cool again. And I think even Pop had some fun with that. Pop took a shower, and who was it? One of the guys, Pop took a shower, and somebody came up to the shower. They were going to take a shower, and they noticed that there wasn't hardly any water on the floor. And they asked Pop, they said, "How is it, Pop? Is the water okay?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, it's just great." And they got under it, turned it on, and they promptly froze in place. So.
Persevere, man. Persevere.
That's it. Well, what do you got going on down there, Pop? Give us a rundown on the next event.
On the next event. Well, actually, the next event for me is tomorrow night.
Okay, what do you got going on?
I'm going to Port Lavaca, Texas, to do a presentation for the Bay Gun Club on Appleseed. They are interested in bringing Appleseed down there. They've heard a lot about it. And so I have a personal invitation to come down tomorrow afternoon and tour the rifle range, and then to go to the meeting tomorrow night and do a presentation, answer questions, and hopefully we'll get a handful of guys at least to come up to Corpus Christi for the April 19th, which will be our first Appleseed event here at Billy Story's Range here in Flower Bluff.
All right.
And excited about that. So.
Well, that sounds good. Now, and tell everybody about the April 19th event. You guys are having the April 19th shoot there at Corpus Christi. And just give us a quick little bit of information about the about where it's at.
Okay. The shoot, the Appleseed shoot, will be Saturday and Sunday over the April the 19th weekend at Billy Starry's shooting range out on Yorktown Road in Flower Bluff. And it's right on Oso Bay. And it just so happens that that weekend is the weekend of the Corpus Christi Naval Air Station's air show. The Blue Angels will be here, and right over Billy Starry's range in Oso Bay is where they do a lot of turns and stuff to head back to base. And so it's we'll have our own private air show there. It's going to be nice.
Okay, listen, Pop. Do me a favor. Don't let anybody shoot at the Blue Angels aircraft there.
We're not going to do
okay.
that.
Okay. Make sure that you have the default direction be down and down range or something when the Blue Angels are flying. We sure don't want to, as accurate a rifleman as the Appleseeders are, we don't want to get in trouble with shooting one of the Blue Angels.
No, that wouldn't be cool, would it?
All right. We got anything else coming up?
Well, we have the shoots here, that one in April. We have the Mother's Day weekend, May, and we have in June we have Father's Day weekend. So
okay.
Those three events scheduled. And
okay. Where are you going to be for the March 14th to the 15th? Are you going to come here, or are you going to the College Station location?
I'm going to come up to Davila for Saturday.
Okay.
And then Sally's coming with me, and then we'll leave Saturday afternoon and drive down to College Station. I have to see that. It's just one of those things I have to do.
Okay.
So,
listen, thanks for calling in, Pop. You want to stay on the line or?
Yeah, I'm going to stay on for a while. My contact is an old family friend from way back there in Port Lavaca, and he's supposed to get on the line with me and tell me about the Bay Gun Club and stuff.
What's his phone number? What's
the area code? Oh, well, it'll be, it's on this phone, and I can't tell you, but.
Okay. All right, well, we'll just keep going, and we'll hit him. When we do, I'll bring you back up on the air, okay?
That'll work.
All right. Thanks, Pop, for everything you're doing.
Oh, we love it, man. We love it. This is what our country needs.
Good listening. Keep it up, and tell Sally we said hi, and we'll see you next weekend. All right. We've got area code 111. You're on the air? Area code 111. All right. We'll try them again in just a minute. All right. All right, now we've got area code 770. You're on the air.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Who is this?
This is Nathan Williams. How you doing?
Nathan Williams. Good.
Nathan. Nathan as Nathaniel. Yeah, Nathaniel. Nathan
All right.
Williams.
All right. Are you a member of the Appleseed program?
No, sir. I'm a first-time caller and a first-time listener.
Well, that's great. How'd you hear about the... Not the radio program, but how'd you hear about the Appleseed program?
Through Fred's. Shotgun News. Shotgun News, yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. And my questions were. Well, I'm glad to be here, sir. I'm glad to, and I've been listening, the entire time, and I've enjoyed your program. I really have.
Well, Thank you very much. What can we help you out with? We can get
okay.
you lined up with a shoot. We can get you lined up with anything you need. You just let us know what you need so
we're,
we can get you aimed right at a shoot.
Yes, sir. I'm heading that way. I'm gathering everything and putting, getting everything in that direction. But my main question is right now, what I've heard a lot about is the M14, okay? Now, I have an AR-15, and what I'm looking at is there a difference? I mean, do you just have the M14, or can anybody have the rifle when they come to the boot camp or any kind of function?
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I'm just going to give you a quick one, and then I'm going to hand it to JB, because I'll tell you what, JB is he's extremely familiar with both, and he's certainly an excellent marksman with both. I'll tell you, my answer is, you can show up to an Appleseed with any rifle you want. Appleseed is the most practical rifle course on the face of the planet. You, whatever rifle you show up to, we will teach you to shoot it to 4 minutes of arc accuracy. Okay? That's the short answer.
Okay.
Now, the long answer, JB's going to take care of.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, the program is pretty much tailored now to economics. A couple of years ago, the military surplus ammo started drying up. People were looking for a cheaper alternative, so most people fire rimfire. At least
yeah, you
the
get
first
a
part of it.
And, yeah, you can get a 22. People, you can get a 22 rimfire bolt for the AR-15.
Right. People have the conversions,
yeah.
And
yes,
I will say that if you're gonna go that route, put about 500 rounds through it before you bring it to an Appleseed, because they tend to, they're a little tight, they're a little sticky when you first start shooting them, and they have a few malfunctions. So get it broken in before you come to an Appleseed. It'll be a lot less frustrating. But that's an excellent.
I would go further and say, I would add my two cents in, which would get to go further and say, get you a different, get you a Ruger 10/22 instead of the AR upper.
Okay, just go ahead and buy a 22.
Yeah, get you a Ruger 10/22, four magazines, and a good military-type nylon adjustable sling. Get the sling swivel and stuff mounted on the rifle, and show up with that.
Yep.
I think
it'll pay for itself in ammo in no time.
Oh yeah. Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ammo so expensive.
I'm not going to bad talk the uppers, but I will tell you that out of personal experience that. I see a lot of folks struggling with them. Now, I don't have one.
Yep.
I don't know whether that is an operator problem or if that is if it's something else. But I see a lot
struggling
of
with the AR-15?
With the upper. With the 22 caliber uppers.
Oh, the uppers? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So
firing it, 223 is not a problem. It's just expensive.
Okay.
It's an expensive way to go.
Yes.
Now, there is sometimes we have a long range component. We go out to 400 yards and shoot the Army qualification test out to 400 yards. And of course, you can't do the rim fire with that. Most people use ARs or M1s or M14 types. And,
yeah.
To do that, but you can shoot probably 90% of the time. You can shoot the entire weekend using rim fire. And the skills you learn will transfer precisely to whatever rifle you're shooting after that. In other words, you shoot your Ruger, and when you go home, if you start practicing with your AR and your more expensive ammo, I can promise you the skills will transfer almost precisely. And you'll shoot so much better with the AR or the M14 or whatever you're shooting.
Yes, sir.
But you get the price break on the ammo.
Well, see, I'm ex-military. So I have some shooting capabilities already, I'm like I said, it's been like a wildfire for me. I understand about this nation. I'm a history buff, and I know what happened, April of 1775, and I understand, and I believe this country needs to get back to its roots.
You've got to jump on most people, because the problem in America right now is that most people don't know the history of the country. Most people don't know the history past last week. And as anyone will tell you, as the old saying goes, if those who do not learn history, those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly what's happening.
Exactly.
We're stuck in a cycle of repeating it because people have not taken the initiative to learn about their history, to learn about their country, to understand
exactly
what an important document the Constitution is and the
exactly
reason that we have it in the first place.
Exactly. Right. You know, a lot of what's going on right now in this country today, you know, personally in this country today, is a lot of racial problems. You know, and if people look back in 1775, and, you know, whites, Negroes, this was their country. You know, and they fought also side by side for this country.
Sure.
Even through the Civil War. Negroes in the South, this was their home. Okay? And they fought also for the South. Okay, that's the way they looked at it. It wasn't about slavery or anything like that or racial. We need to get past that. You know what I mean? Because everybody in this nation, we persevere as a whole.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Appleseed is an equal opportunity for anybody and everybody. We encourage anybody, any American citizens, to become involved in the program because it is a common defense.
We're all Americans. We're all Americans.
Right.
What color you are, we're all Americans. You know what I mean? And we all have to come together as a whole and say, look, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. You know, we need to be here and be here for each other. You know,
what state are you in, Nathan?
Georgia.
Fantastic. All right, then you actually have a good location nearby. What about Toccoa? Are you close to Toccoa?
Yes, sir. I'm from Gainesville, Georgia, actually. Moved down here to Griffin, Georgia. But I know where Toccoa's at. And
you got Hinesville coming up, I believe, this weekend.
Hinesville?
That's coming up, I believe, this weekend. It's always a fantastic shoot.
Yes,
you can make it to that one.
To Hinesville. Are you pretty
yes,
close
sir.
To Hinesville?
I don't know for sure. To be honest with you, I know more about Toccoa than any place else.
Well, check out Hinesville. That's a March 7th and 8th shoot there. Where does Cannon Man, where is he going to show up at the Toccoa shoot?
I think he's in Hinesville this next one coming up.
Okay.
I want to say it's this weekend, down toward Fort Stewart, down a little southwest of Savannah. And I think
you're
probably more northerly.
More north than that. North of Macon. Yeah.
Dave brings his whole crew with him. He brings flintlocks, Revolutionary period costume, and usually he'll be towing a cannon behind the truck too.
At least one cannon, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
You'll get
an 8-pounder.
It's a lot of fun. I tell you, if you ever get a chance to go to Hinesville, guys, that's one of the better ones. It's a really good shoot.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm gearing up towards one of the shoots, and I want to do the training for riflemen.
Okay. Rifleman boot camp.
The boot camp. Yes, sir. Yes,
all right.
Sir. I'm kind of gearing everything towards that, and. Probably be within the 6 months to a year before I can get around. I don't make that much money, and I'm trying to do what I can with me and my wife, you know. But I support y'all, and I listen I'll start listening in every Tuesday, and as soon as I can swing it, I'm there.
All right. Well, we'll have one coming up in. Let's see. We got one coming up in November in Texas, and then we have. What is the next one at Ramsur, JB?
I think we have a May in Ramsur, North Carolina.
There's a May in Ramsur, North Carolina, which is not too far from you.
No, sir, it's not.
Well,
I appreciate it, and it was nice talking to you, and I'm glad I got through.
Okay.
Well, thank
you. Listen,
Nathan, for calling
me. Are you a member of the Appleseed Forum yet?
No, sir. No, sir. That's one of the steps I'm gearing to.
Okay. You'll go to appleseedinfo.org, that's the website,
yes,
and then you click on the links. One of the links will say forum. Now you
uh-huh.
go to the forum, you click on, you go to the forum, and it'll ask you at the top to register for an account. And it's a very simple procedure. All we're doing is asking for just a little bit of information if you're not a spammer or some kind of an internet salesman or something, and then you go right on. And then that will let you, be in the know about everything that we're doing. So be sure and take that step. Go to appleseedinfo.org and click on links. Go to the forum and then register for an account there, and that will put you right on there. When you do, PM me, send me a message through the message system on the forum. My name is Scout on the forum. Just let me know that you made it there so that we can keep in touch.
Yes, sir. I will do.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, Nathan.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there you go. That's great.
Good.
You heard about it from Shotgun News, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we give a lot of guys that find it that way.
That's right. Now, it has moved from number one to number two. Number one was Shotgun News, and I ask everybody who shows up at an Appleseed event, you know, how they heard about it. Let me know how they heard about it, because that gives me, at least, an insight on where I need to be focusing my time and energy. And I think at this last Appleseed, all but two were from word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had told somebody. Somebody had told somebody else, and that's how they had gotten the information. So that's what we're going to keep working on. Word of mouth.
Hard to beat word of mouth.
Yeah.
Hard to beat it.
Okay, got another one. Let's see. Bring this one up on the line. We've got area code 508. Is this old grunt?
No, this is the Dwarven one, Scout.
Hey, Dwarven, how you doing?
Good. How are you this week?
Oh, I'm just dandy. I'm charged up. I think there is nothing like being in the company of riflemen for a full 8 days.
Well, you got that right.
Sounds like fun. Hey, I was listening to you talking about Captain Davis, and I ran across a story from, American History magazine that I actually share with the people with shooters at my shoots, and I hadn't seen this referenced anywhere else. I think it's on the wiki. I think it's mentioned in the Wikipedia article on Isaac Davis. Basically, Davis was actually apparently a fairly superstitious man, and a week or so before April 19th, he came home with his wife and discovered that an owl, symbol of death, the harbinger of death, if you will, had flown into the house and perched on Davis's favorite rifle. Didn't want to disturb the owl, and it apparently stayed there for a while, but he interpreted that to mean, as you know, if he wound up going into battle, as indeed he did, that he would die in battle. And that actually adds a whole another dimension to how he left his wife that day. You know, wasn't anything really to say other than take care of the children.
Right. I mean, what are you going to say? There's nothing left to say. And I'm sure that he and his wife had already talked about this before, you know, him being the company commander for the unit. And I'm sure that she understood.
Yeah.
Well, it adds a great deal of weight to the decision he had to make that morning, too, to go or not to go.
Well, he'd been elected captain of the Minutemen several months previous, and apparently was very popular and well loved by his company. So, isn't that what most soldiers? I mean, I know that you know everybody says you fight for a country, but I've also heard it said by people who should know that what really gets you up and going when the bullets are flying is that you don't want to let your squad mates down, your platoon
right.
mates down.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, whenever you're on any of the guys, any of the vets can tell you this, is that anytime anything's going on, you're not, you're really not fighting for a flag or for your country or anything else. Right immediately when it's going on,
you're fighting for the guys in the holes next to you. I mean, that is the immediate concern of yours, is the guy in the hole with you and the guys on your left and right. That's who you're fighting for. That's who you can't let down. That's who it's the most important thing for you to do your duty is because of that.
Yeah, I have a friend who is, God, he's what, about 54, 55 now, I think. And when we went into Iraq several years ago, Bob was CSM of his company. Now, it was a, you know, behind the lines company because he was command sergeant major of a hospital unit. But still, he was very, very unhappy because the military basically declared him as undeployable because he had a stent put into his heart a year or two previous. And he was not happy because he could not go with his troops when they were going in harm's way. And, they did successfully come back, but, still, Bob was not happy because of that.
You don't want to let your buddies down. I don't care what has already happened to you. You don't want to let your buddies down. You don't want to, miss out. I say don't miss out on the danger. It's not that you don't want to miss out on the danger. As far as I know, as a group, everybody would have been glad to miss out on the danger. What I mean is, you don't want
your
buddies to have to go through something without you there to help.
Right.
It's right. Without
and
you
also, in the setting of 1775, these guys are going out there with their brother and their uncle and their dad and their cousin, and they're
with their family members. Yeah, everybody knew
sure.
each other.
This was a community thing.
At Lexington,
yeah,
the men who mustered at Lexington, they were all cousins, fathers, sons, uncles, brothers. They all knew each other.
On Lexington Green that morning, you had eight pairs of fathers and sons, and five of them were divided by death that morning out of that eight. So it was a very close personal thing.
Yeah, the guys then, and just like you're saying, you know, the guys then, you don't want to look weak. You don't want to run. You don't want to not pull your weight because your neighbors are there with you. Your father's there watching you. Your cousin or your brother is there, and you don't want to let them down. You don't want to let your buddies down in any way.
Right. And it's not a matter of being scared. I think the courage is doing something in spite of being scared, just like commitment is doing something that you don't necessarily want to do. And these guys are full of commitment and courage.
That's right. And commitment, as JB brought up, that is something that if you become part of the program, you'll hear over and over and over. And that is a commitment to the program because Appleseed, I made the mistake when I first came in of thinking Appleseed was a race. You know, I ran and ran at 100 miles an hour, and one day I kind of ran out of breath because I didn't understand that the Appleseed program, our project, is a marathon. It is a forever thing. It's not a weekend race. It's a forever. It's a for the duration because we have very long-term goals, which is to change the face of the nation. But that's not going to get done in a weekend or a month or a year. Whenever you come into the program and you make a commitment to it, then that commitment is made to your country and to your posterity. At the beginning of the show, I was talking about that a rifleman, he spends every day trying to improve himself and his home, his family, his community, his state, his country, and that's forever. That's not for a weekend. That's forever. When we ask you to make a commitment to the program, we're not asking you to stand in ranks one weekend and shoot, or even to get shot at. All we're asking you to do is become an American and change your way of thinking to being committed to making sure that our freedoms and our liberties are safeguarded, not just this week or next week or next month, but for the rest of your life so that you can hand it down to your posterity, to your children. Commitment is not a... it's not something that can be... it can be thrown away like disposable bottles or the way that people, the way that our generation seems to now think about commitment as far as they don't have any. They don't have any commitment. They don't have any stay with it. They don't have it. It doesn't appear that they have it in them, and we're trying to change that. Commitment isn't an easy thing. I know with all the instructors, even though we're not asking you to take up arms and go through hardships and perils, we're still asking for a lot of time, and we're asking for a lot of things that a lot of people find it hard to accept that we're asking for a lot, because sometimes I think people still misunderstand that the aptitude program is just about rifle marksmanship, but it's not. If it were just about rifle marksmanship, I don't think that we would care if you came and you shot and you did okay and you went home and you forgot about it. It's not about rifle marksmanship. It's about American heritage and culture and changing the way, getting America back on track, changing the way that Americans act and about the way that they feel about the country. Feel free to jump in.
I can't add anything to that. Well, actually, maybe I could add one little thing, and that is that it is very, very important to remind people that basically our politicians work for us. I will not say whether or not I agree, especially not at an Appleseed shoot, with whether or not I agree with a particular act that our politicians have undertaken. I will, however, note that, for example, the mood of the American public and the communications that our Congress critters were receiving from their constituents prior to the first bailout were running something like 9-1 against it. And they went and did it anyway. This is not acceptable. They work for us, and they must be reined in, or they get booted out at the ballot box. Our forefathers gave us some wonderful tools if we can but use them. And the fact that people, that some of our legislators can vote the way they do and trample all over what their constituents want and still get reelected tells me that we have one heck of a lot of work that we still have to do.
Oh, definitely.
That's right. Yeah.
Definitely.
And here's the thing. The guys back there in 1775 this wasn't all of a sudden the alarm bells rang and they heard the alarm muskets going off and they got up and they went out to see what was going on. These guys knew what was going on years before. They had many, many alarms before that. How many alarms have we had as the American people? How many alarms have we had that have been building up to, the present day? And riflemen are awake and aware, and they see this, that we know what's going on. We've been seeing the steady encroachment for years on our liberties. And the difference is we don't roll over and go back to bed. We want to get something done about it and get this place, get the nation back on the right track. I've postulated many times that if we had a mere 100 riflemen per state, we'd have the face of the nation changed now, politically. All it would take is 100 riflemen per state doing what riflemen do, and that's all it would take, because not only would they know the names of their senators and congressmen, the senators and congressmen would know their names, because they'd be doing what they were supposed to do.
I have my senators, congressmen, and governor on speed dial.
There you go. That's how it's supposed to be done. And there's no official program for this. But in the back of my mind, I've been wondering who's going to be the first state to have that 100 rifleman. Who's going to be the founding member of the Century Club? You know, which state is it going to be? California, Texas, New York? Who's it going to be? Because once that happens, once that first state gets 100 riflemen, you know, there's going to be a lot more soon to follow, and we're going to start seeing change. But it's going to take work to get there.
It's taking work, and we're still building the machine right now. We're all we can do right now. It's such a big machine. Is all we can do right now is build the machine. But as Dwarven was saying, he doesn't usually talk about the what we call icebergs, particular bills or particular people who've been elected, things like that, because of the very fact that we consider those to be icebergs, and we don't want to get mired into the muck of minutia whenever the Appleseed program is devoting itself to changing the climate of the country. That way, those bills never even come into session. Those guys never get elected.
Right.
The politicians do exactly what they are supposed to be doing as Americans, or they get rode out of town on a rail and tarred and feathered.
Right.
I'm not sure how long it's going to take, but well, as you know, I am currently living in Massachusetts. And our governor is trying his darndest to see if he can't drive everybody out to New Hampshire by all the taxes he's proposing. But there is a huge backlash building up in the gun owners here. We have been, as a group, seriously abused over the last several years. And, you know, honestly, as I was mentioning to you last week, the instructors up here, we were thinking, yeah, you know, we'll have the winter off, and we're going to, you know, we're going to hit the ground running on April 18th and hold our first apple seed. That didn't work. The guys here basically insisted, no, we don't want to wait till April for an apple seed. You have to have one sooner.
Great.
We had 18 guys out in the snow in Athol in a Massachusetts February winter, and they were lying on a foot and a half of snow. I understand that the registration for the Harvard shoot is somewhere up around 36 right about now.
That's why I keep telling
weekend.
People it's never been done before. This is a historic event, the April 18th, 19th weekend, to make sure that they get a place on the line, because we have locations that are already closing up. We've already filled them up. To make sure that they get a place on the line, they need to go to appleseedinfo.org, click on the schedule of events, and then make sure that they go ahead and pre-register so that they get a position on the line secured for them for the April 18th, 19th weekend. Doesn't matter wherever they want to go, they need to go ahead and pre-register for the event to make sure that they've got a place, because we do have locations for office closing out.
That's right. And there's going to come a time during that weekend, folks, where all across the nation, from sea to shining sea, there's going to be a volley of rounds fired simultaneously. And a week later, if your finger wasn't on the trigger and you weren't putting rounds down range at that exact time with all the other thousands of shooters, you're going to wish you did. So this is just like Scout says, this is a big one. Get registered and get your place on the line, because it's going to be historic.
Yeah, because whenever you start feeling that empty feeling in your gut and you're wondering what it is, I'll tell you right now what it is. It's that you weren't there to fire in that volley to remember those patriots who came before us, who sacrificed before us for their posterity, us, so that we had a country, so that we had a constitution, so that we wouldn't have to go through the things that they went through. We wouldn't have to go through 8 long, horrible years of revolution, of blood and loneliness and disease and death. They fixed it so we wouldn't ever have to do that again. And this is our chance honor them. To remember
Absolutely.
Is to honor. To remember is to honor. To make their sacrifices worthwhile, we need to remember their sacrifice and continue to pass on. And that's what we're going to be doing April 18th and 19th, is remembering and honoring the founders, those men and women that sacrificed for us.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great thing. If you're not signed up, you need to be.
Let's see. We've got another 361 area code. I'm going to put that on because that might be Pop's friend calling in. Area code 361, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes. Who's this?
Yeah, I'm Paul's buddy.
You're Paul's buddy? Listen, I wouldn't go announcing that to anybody or admitting that.
It's too late. All my life I've known Paul. I don't ever remember not knowing Paul.
Oh, man, that's a sad story if I've ever heard one. Your friend is on the line here.
Right. Yes, we've been knowing each other since, well, I was born in 48, and I'm not sure when he was born, a little before me or a little after or whatever. But
he was born sometime before the turn of the century, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was born in 1775. I'm not sure.
Well, he was wearing his tri-cornered Revolutionary War hat all week here. So he looked pretty much, he either looked like a Revolutionary War guy or he looked like Jack Sparrow from the Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know which one.
Well, I don't have a Revolutionary hat yet, but I have a rifle. Will that work?
So that you were going to, you guys were getting ready to, or that you guys were thinking about hosting an event there at your range.
Well, he's going to come to our gun club meeting here in Fort Lavaca, Texas tomorrow night and give us a bill on it, and we're going to try to drum up some interest, and then maybe I'll bring some people down to Corpus to his next Appleseed shoot, and we'll see where we can go from there.
Well, that sounds good. Pop, I got you back on the air.
Okay, great. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Paul. What's going on?
Well, we're just cussing and discussing Appleseed and where our country's going.
Yep. Well, we need to do something about that, don't we?
Well, listen, if you need any help with anything, any paperwork or anything for your range or for your gun club, let us know because we have plenty of letters of recommendation from other ranges who've been involved with the program. We'd be glad to supply those to you if you'd like to take those to your club.
Well, tell Paul, bring them on, and we'll see what we can do tomorrow night and get some interest going.
Okay.
Well, Sally and I are going to head down there tomorrow afternoon and take a look at the Bay Gun Club range and then present the Appleseed program to the gun club tomorrow evening. Look forward to it. And hopefully a good number of the Bay Gun Club folks will come to Corpus on April the 19th weekend and have a good show.
All right, well, listen, Pop, if you need some of the letters of recommendation, I believe that Fun Favor has them either on file or they could be posted somewhere on the forum. But get in touch with him.
Him, Fun Favor.
He can let you know where they are, and you can download them and print them out and take them with you. Because there's not a single range that we've been involved in that hasn't been happy with the program. They weren't pleased with the folks that came in and with the results that came from being involved with the program.
Yeah, I'll do that tonight. And
all right. Well, Pop, thank you very much. And Mike.
Yes, sir.
We look forward to you guys be getting involved. Once again, my condolences for you having to have had to put up with Pop for so long. I just got through the week of it, and I don't know how you've made it your whole life.
Well, it probably deformed my personality quite a bit, but I'm not sure what did that. But Paul's good people, and he's getting me interested in this, and I'll tell you what, it didn't take a whole lot, because I know the pickle that this country is in right now. Everything you said, you're just echoing my sentiments.
Well, are you a member of the Appleseed Forum?
With the what?
The Appleseed Forum?
I'm going to be.
Okay, good. Because
I'm not yet.
I recommend it.
Well, I'm going to get into it and see what I can tickle around here and get the interest keep kicked up. We had a guy come through here about 2 years, 3 years ago and give a spill on Appleseed, but nobody showed any interest. But at the time, we had an administration that was favorable to firearms, and the government looked like it was going in a better direction. Right now, a lot of people are afraid. So,
oh, yeah.
We may get some interest.
Well, it doesn't matter what administration is in. We still need, the country still needs Appleseed. The country
well,
still
we
needs
see
men
that
and women.
Now.
Yes, the men and women that are dedicated to safeguarding our liberties, regardless of who's in. They're dedicated to ensuring that our country stays on track.
Right.
Well, if you're not a member of the Appleseed Forum, you can go to appleseedinfo.org, and Pop can tell you how to do this, appleseedinfo.org, and click on the links, and then from there, that'll take you to a link called a forum, and then you can just register for an account on the forum, and that'll let you know everything that's going on with the Appleseed program. It'll give you all the locations and dates, how to prepare, with different news and reports, locations that have gone on, how you can personally help push the program forward. So I really encourage you to become a member of the forum. It doesn't cost anything. We're not going to dig for a whole bunch of information. All we're going to do is just like ask for your name, and that will let you get plugged in to all the current information about the program, what we're doing, where we're headed, where we want to go, and stuff like that.
Well, that sounds great, and I will look into that. Well, like I say, I know we need to do something, and it sounds like a plan.
Well, thank you for calling in, and Pop, good luck to both you guys tomorrow night at the gun club.
Hey, thank you, Scout.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
And we're here every Tuesday, Mike. Every Tuesday we're here from 7 to 9, so I hope you'll come back.
Well, I've got the number in my phone now, and I will.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Goodbye.
Okay,
Pop.
Sounds like one more bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. We got one more here. Area code 575. You're on the air.
I'll do, Scout.
Hey,
it's Sam here.
Who's this?
This is Sam.
Oh, hey, Sam. Well, it's great to hear from you. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Still coming down off my high from the weekend.
Yeah. Well, you better not come down, because I was looking at the schedule, and it looked like you've got a lot of events coming up. See, you better stay up on the high.
Oh, I tell you, every time I set foot on a range with them guys, I'm up. I love it.
Well, guys listening, this is Sam Damewood. He's an instructor with the Appleseed program. He's based out of New Mexico, and he's been working in New Mexico and the West Texas shoots out in El Paso, and just one heck of a guy, and the best mustache on the forum.
If you don't believe me, check out the pictures.
They
just posted some pictures from your last shoot there on the forum, and some fantastic pictures. The backdrop makes me want to quit my job and move out there just Appleseed full time.
Come on out. How'd you like to go shoot at a range with the Gunsight Mountains for a backstop? You can't beat it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It is beautiful. All the western ranges, I'm always envious of all the states out west, and I sure am hoping that they keep coming online and they keep joining up. You know, one of the great things about the West is is it has a different mentality. A great deal of the men and women out there have a different mentality. And a lot of them are rugged individuals. At least they used to be. I'm sure that there's they're succumbing to the general softness of the whole country, but that's where a lot of the rugged men and women used to be based out of. And the countryside is just absolutely beautiful there.
We still got plenty of individuals left, even with all them infiltrators from them strange states. And we're going to make a good go of it out here.
Well, give us a quick rundown of what you just got through doing and what's coming up.
Well, we had our shoot last weekend, first one for Las Cruces. It was very small, but very effective. Yeah, since we're working real hard on instructor development, I packed in every IIT we could get, right down to the point where we had one-on-one coaching with those shooters. And we had a lot of them sit right up there in the high 180s, 190s, made two riflemen out of eight, recruited one more IIT and probably another, and we've got a solid team here. Pretty quick, we're going to have a team good enough we can run two shoots a month, and that's going to be the goal. We'll try and run one in opposite corners of the state every month, just as long as we can get a crowd of people together. And folks say, well, that's a low turnout shoot. Might be, but I believe it enough that I'll go out and run a shoot for one. I don't care.
There you go. And that is important because you never know where the next hard worker is going to come from. That's one of the reasons that we still do shoots that only have a few people, because you never know where the next guy is going to come from, who's going to be revved up to full speed and take the program across the into the end zone for the touchdown. You never know where they're going to come from. So we can't disregard the small shoots that we do, and we still do a lot of those. We can't disregard those shoots because they're just as important as the big ones.
Yeah,
we're building.
But when the house is on fire, you're not going to turn anybody down for the bucket brigade, right? A bucket is a bucket. So
you got it.
You never know. You never know where the next heavy hitter is going to come from. So it's always good.
Well, we're going to be running West Texas and out there in El Paso and New Mexico very hard. We've got a couple shoots a month scheduled so far, and right up through the end of the year, if I remember right.
That's it.
And we're going to push it.
Let's see. Thinking of talking about the mustache, that reminded me that we're still using, we still want to use the radio show to help out apple seeders. So any of you guys, if you have some service or product that you think that we could help by mentioning on the radio show, we'd be glad to do that. Just send me a message, send me an email or a PM, and I'll try and get you on. We're not asking for any money for this, so we're just doing it as a favor to our folks, which, so by the way, is one of the folks is Blue Feather, who's out there in New Mexico, too. She makes handmade soap, and she's trying to whip up a batch of mustache wax for Sam. And I'm sure that once she gets it perfected on him, then it'll go for sale. But the she's got a website. It's BlueFeatherBizHost.com. I think I said that right. If not, just look up Google Blue Feather Soap, and you'll get her website. She makes handmade soaps, absolutely fantastic soap. I still have a couple of bars left. I'm going to have to actually buy some, I guess, soon, because she gave me a couple when I went down to the instructor's boot camp and we stayed at her house. She gave me a couple of bars of soap, and I'm just about out of them. So.
Well, I hope she gets going on that wax. I'm tired of that inferior store-bought stuff. You know, where I come from, you ain't nobody if you ain't got a bulletproof mustache.
There you go.
And I want to remind all them fighter pilots out there, this is Mustache March, so they need to get out there and stick up for Robert Olds a little bit.
Well, we've got one other person that I looked on the chat board. We've got another person calling in. I want to get them on real quick, and then we want to mention I guess we're going to talk about, too, just for a few minutes. I'll get everybody to weigh their two cents on it before we close up. I want to talk about the title of the program, which is 60,000 Screaming Jihadists Landing on American Soil.
I wondered where they were.
We'll get to that in just a second here. But right now, we've got somebody from Crusade for Truth, the Erica 530. Oh, you're on the air.
Oh, they are.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Who's this?
Hi, this is Ranger from Pat Dollard's Jihadi Killer Hour.
Hey, how you doing?
You guys know who Pat Dollard is?
Yeah.
And I'm also on the Black Conservative Show a lot as well.
Well, thanks for calling in.
I've heard of you guys, and my wife found you on the internet. Look at the conservative shows, and my question is, are you guys kind of more like a militia-oriented type group, or?
No. You can actually sum us up in a very simple, easy thing, and that is we're a rifle marksmanship and safety organization, and we also teach about American heritage and culture. We don't do any kind of training. We are just instructors in rifle marksmanship. We feel that that alone does enough for the country. If you look at the Constitution, you could actually say that I'm not going to say that the Appleseed program is involved because we're not, but if you look at the Constitution, you'll find that it states in black and white that every citizen above the age of 16 and below, I think, 65, is a standing member of the militia. Nothing I can do about that. That's in the Constitution. So if you could say that the folks are, but the Appleseed program is not a militia. We're not connected to the militia.
And actually, with what's going on this day and age, even if you were, you wouldn't say it on the radio anyway. But good way to have the FBI at your doorstep within the next day.
Well, we're a completely open organization, we're just involved with rifle marksmanship instruction, as I said, mainly with letting folks know about American culture, American heritage.
Yeah, I'm just curious now. I'm getting ready to get the hell out of California. I absolutely cannot stand this communist liberal state any longer, and I'm moving over to Nevada. Are you familiar? I haven't taken the time. I'm sure I could find it on the internet, but are you familiar with Nevada's gun laws?
Yeah, to a degree. They have a very very relaxed policies there as far as they seem to be a lot more positive as far as concerning Second Amendment laws and
that's right.
Rules concerning firearms.
Okay, good. That's kind of what I've heard. That's what I thought anyway, because hell, in California, you can't have anything over like a 10-round magazine capacity now, even handguns.
I tell you what we do have in California, and that is a huge Appleseed program that's developing. And I know that you want to get out of California because of laws, but let me give you a different take on it. How about staying in California and changing the laws? Because that's what we're getting ready to do in California with the Appleseed program. We're getting ready to change the laws in California.
Because, you know, where it all went to hell was when Richard Purdy saw them beating these kids in that schoolyard in Stockton. I think that was, what, in 88 or 9?
86.
No, I don't think it was that big. But regardless, that's what was the catalyst that lit the whole, you know, liberal charge on gun control here, basically. That's kind of what I remember starting it. I was in the Army at the time when, I'm pretty sure I was in the Army at the time when Richard Purdy did his little thing. And I didn't go in the Army until 87. I was pretty sure I was at 3rd Ranger Battalion at Fort Benning when that happened, when it went down. So that's the only reason why I think it was 88 or 87 maybe. But anyway.
January 89. I just Googled it. January 89.
We're involved with getting, with changing changing the laws, changing the way people think about it, and California has a wonderful program.
I mean, I know they just banned 50 cal ammo in L.A.
Right.
Their argument saying that, you know, the only reason why you'd want a 50 cal is appears, you know, bullet, you know, armor, you know, bulletproof, you know, an arm, cop's body armor, that kind of thing. And but
where are you at in California?
I'm actually in a conservative part of the state. I live east of Sacramento in El Dorado County in a small town called Pollock Pines.
Well, we've got events in Corona and Fresno coming up. You close to either one of those?
Fresno, no. Like I said, I'm directly east of Sacramento on Highway 50 going towards Lake Tahoe.
How about Piru?
That's
way down south.
Well, I mean, I'm moving to Nevada. I mean, I'm moving this weekend.
Oh, you're moving. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already done. It's already a done deal. I'm gone.
Okay. Well, we got a Fallon, Nevada shoot.
That's where I'm moving to is Fallon, Nevada.
Well, there you go. March 14th and 15th, Fallon, Nevada. Why don't you come to the event, get signed up for the event, come to the event, check it out and see what you think, because I think that you're going to be very surprised about this organization, how it works. And you're going to be even more surprised, but because no matter how good you think you shoot, we're going to get you to shoot better.
Well,
no matter how good you think you shoot, because we have guys, we have instructors now who are Marine Corps, Army snipers.
I was in the Army.
And
I spent 6 years.
Learned from it.
Yeah, I spent 6 years in the Army in the 11th Bravo Airborne Ranger. I served with 82nd Airborne and 75th Ranger Regiment. And I'm a graduate of the Army Sniper School at Fort Benning. And I've always shot expert and pretty good at it. So, but I'm always willing to learn any new tricks of the trade.
Well, then come to the Fallon, Nevada event March 14th and 15th.
My only problem is I was in a car wreck about 5-6 years ago, and I've been through hell with my shooting over the years because I'm a right-handed shooter, but I had corrective surgery at 5 years old, and I guess I was born cross-eyed or some crap. But anyway, my left eye is the one that's 20/20. My right eye is getting progressively worse, so I've had to learn to be ambidextrous and be a left-handed shooter. The only problem is my left arm has severe nerve damage down it, where I keep anything with a sling on that shoulder or anything, it starts going numb and tingly, and so it's kind of like I'm in a dilemma nowadays for shooting because I'm a little bit banged up, a lot more banged up than I was 20-some years ago.
Well, listen, go to appleseedinfo.org. to the website and click on the schedule of events, and that'll show you where it's at. They'll give all the information about it, and then you can pre-register online if you want to, or you can just show up as a walk-on. But make sure you go to the event so you can see what it's like, because we need help from everybody in the nation, and we can repay you by helping you to become a better shooter. No matter what level of shooting you're at, we can help you to become a better shooter, guaranteed. Well,
oh yeah, I've always said there's room for improvement always for when it comes to shooting, and you know I started out when I was probably 6-7 years old with a little Ruger 10/22, I believe, and you know graduated up ever since. But you know I just hate to see where this country is going with this whole attitude, and especially Obama's attitude with, you know, I think they're going to go after the assault ban. That, you know, George Bush, I think isn't that already expired?
Right. Well, no matter what they go after, no matter what they do, the Appleseed program is designed to help overcome any and all obstacles, melt all icebergs. So,
well, one of the common problems, I'll tell you, I just went to the California's, I went to our monthly CRA meeting at the California Republican Association, and Senator Dave Cox is a guest speaker. And I'll tell you what, talking to a lot of my friends that, you know, I work for Tom McClintock for the campaign and volunteered heavily at the Republican Party headquarters where I live, and I got to know a lot of good people, good conservative people. And I'll tell you what, a lot of my friends were complaining about not being able to find ammo anywhere, and I even heard Glenn Beck say it on his radio, on his news program. You can't find it in Texas, Florida, New York, that a lot of the more common caliber ammo, like, you know, 5.56 or 7. You know, AK ammo, you know, 7.62 by 39, whatever. I mean, a lot
right.
of common rounds that's drying
right.
up.
Right.
But
well,
I'll tell you the scarier, more scary part, the more common theme that was being talked about, even Glenn Beck said it on his show, within the next year or two with where this country's headed, It's going to be revolt and followed by revolution here. From a lot of people are saying that.
Well, that's a possibility, but we're not gonna deal with that until it comes. Right now, we're working on melting the iceberg. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it to come to that.
I got 5 minutes left, and
yeah.
I need to talk about the subject of the show real quick as we're signing off. But thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
And go to the website and check out the website, and then go to the event in Fallon. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Thank you very much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, Dan, I think you said they're having a...
There's no problem so big that we can't figure it out, that the Appleseed program isn't going to surmount once the machine is built. Now, I got 4 minutes left, so I have to mention something about what the title of the program was, which is 60,000 Screaming Jihadists Coming Ashore on Long Island. And what this was a theoretical problem that we had kind of talked about a while back, and that is, what would happen? Say you have an oil tanker that had been converted to carry people. And oil tankers are huge. You could easily cram in 50, 60,000 folks into an oil tanker that was converted to hold them. I suppose it wouldn't be comfortable, but you could somehow do it. Then you could take that oil tanker and you could run it ashore in Long Island, and with some maybe some type of pre-made charges, you could blow up in the hull, and then out come 60,000 screaming jihadists bent on doing damage to the United States of America. So what happens then? What do you do then? What would be your best bet? I can tell you that it's not going to be to call FEMA. We've seen what happens then. You could call the government. You could call the Army and alert them, and I'm sure that they would do everything possible to get there in time. They would send out the order. They would write up other orders for travel arrangements, so on and so forth, and they would probably be there within a few days. So, but what happens between when the jihadists come ashore and whoever is going to save you gets there? Well, the answer is you're on your own, and you better figure out something that you can do in that time period between when they come ashore and whenever the saviors get there for you. Now, on April 19, 1775, without the benefit of radio or television or cell phones or computers or the internet, anything like that, you had a few men on horseback that started out, and those men alerted other men, and those men alerted other men, and so on and so forth, until within the time period of approximately 6 hours, there were over 14,000 men under arms and marching toward Concord. Now, with all of modern technology, with cell phones, with computers, with everything that we have, with television alerts, with all of modern technology, how many people do you think we could get to come and assist you in defending your community, your state? How many people could you personally get? Because I asked this question at Appleseeds, and I start off with, could you get 100 men? No hands. Could you get 50 men? No hands. Could you get 25 men? No hands. Could you get 10 men? And maybe a hand will come up. Could you get 5 men and a few more hands? Well, how about this? How could you get one other person to show up and help you to defend your home and your block, your community? And even then, a lot of times there's only half the hands are up. And that's pretty sad. We've gone, in the space of 200 years, we've gone from 6 hour call with nothing but a horse and lighting a fire and ringing a bell at the church and getting 14,000 men under arms moving and making it to Concord in time to do something, to a place where we're at now, which is not even being able to get one other person to help you. Is that America? Are those Americans doing that? I don't think so. And what's the answer? How are you going to get some friends? How are you going to get some people to help you? And the answer is Appleseed. Now, listen, if you think, I want you to think about this for a while. I want you to think about it and see. And ask yourself honestly how many people you could get to show up and help you. You think about that for a while, and you want to know how many you think it'll be next to. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. I want to thank all the guests who call in, JB, Dwarven, Pop, Mike, everybody who called in. Thanks a million, guys.